This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, 8:50 in the morning, Tuesday, November the 23rd. And now we are diving into Malacca election analysis with our MP from Bangi, Ong Kian Ming. Because what we do know is that they defended 8 seats in GE14, but lost half of those seats this time round. As a result, Malacca DAP chairman Dato' Tay Kok Kew announced his resignation as chairman. In his apology to DAP members, Tay said that the decision to resign was made based on the principle of responsibility for the results of the state election.
Well, he lost his seat to Perikatan Nasional's Dr. Mohamed Yazoo Yaacob in the Bemban state constituency by quite a large margin of 4,211 votes. Questions are now rife at how the coalition will move forward from this devastating loss and what kind of changes or re-strategizing will take place as calls for GE15 to be held earlier grows louder. So will Malacca prove to be a reflection point for Pakatan Harapan, and what will DAP do moving forward?
To help us answer that question, we have on the line with us YB Ong Kian Ming, Member of Parliament for Bangi and of course DAP member. Good morning, Kian Ming. Now, out of the 8 seats that DAP was contesting in Malacca, the party lost half. I want to know, why did that happen?
I think people should have the knowledge that out of the 8 seats that DAP won in GE 2018, only perhaps 4 could be considered strongholds for the DAP. The rest were seats that DAP had not won before in the past. So, you know, we managed to defend our ground, but unfortunately, because of the unique circumstances of this state elections, no dramas, you know, very low turnout, fears about COVID-19, we were not able to retain a lot of the vote that we gained from different people, including the young, including the outstation voters that we got in the previous general election.
You know, yesterday, you know, Fahmi Fazil from PKR was saying, you know, you were in this perfect storm, right, where there was a sudden state of collapse of the state government, low turnout, the inability to hold charamas, you know, the fears surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic. In your view, do you think the two political frogs, which your party actually originally opposed, contributed to the loss?
I think it created part and parcel of a you know, a situation where we could not get out of that narrative for the first few days of the campaign. And I think a couple of guests that you've interviewed in the last 2 days also have said this, that PH was not able to come up with our own compelling narrative. So insofar as the political frogs or, you know, so-called principle acceptance of the principle, so-called principle political frogs affected this inability, I would say yes, that was something that we had to deal with, and we didn't deal with it very well.
So is there some acknowledgement then that perhaps there was no narrative and that this time the campaign was rather lackluster? Because I think...
I definitely admit it.
Okay, so what kind of soul-searching will DAP do to move forward? I mean, what are the lessons learned? Because up next is the Sarawak state elections.
I think we have to do reflection within the party first, DAP, and then also within the larger PH coalition, and look at the different things that we could have done better, and then what can we do to prepare for the Sarawak state elections, which there will be some similarities in terms of relatively low turnout, the vote not there, restrictive campaign conditions, but also more importantly, how we want to reconfigure ourselves and also come up with a new and more compelling narrative for the 15th general election, which I think is probably the more important thing for us to focus on.
Do you think it's not only narrative but leadership as well? Because DAP's Bilut Assembly Person Lee Chin Shin actually urged Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim to step down as the opposition leader.
I would say that the leadership or the leaders form part of the narrative, right? You can't have a narrative without people who are sharing the narrative. So I think your question is whether or not Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim should step down. I think as part and parcel of the reflection that DAP and PH must undergo, we need to take collective responsibility for this defeat in Malacca. And, all of the leaders, including people like myself also, need to come up with a more strategic effort in terms of how we don't resort to knee-jerk reactions, but come up with something more holistic that we can offer to the voters in the next general election.
But leadership is part of that conversation then. So yeah, Chin Chin's view is not isolated.
It must be. No, I think that his view, while not being isolated, needs to be taken into context in terms of the collective responsibility that all of the leaders, even including myself, need to take for whatever shortcomings we had during the Melaka state elections.
Now, aside from the frogs, the charamas, I mean, another criticism towards the opposition bloc is the signing of the MOU with the government. Do you think this had any influence on how DAP performed in the polls? Because the argument is that the MOU then binds your hands in being an effective vocal opposition.
I cannot deny that this could have been a factor. And I think it is incumbent on the DAP and also Pakatan Harapan to explain to our voters how this MOU can actually contribute to you know, institutional change and reforms in the next 1 year or so. And we haven't done a very good job in terms of saying how this MOU is important, for example, to as a first step to introduce the anti-hopping law, which UMNO also supports. It is an important step in terms of making sure that everyone has an equal constituency allocation, regardless of whether you're from the opposition or from the government, and also part and parcel of the larger dialogue that we need to have on important matters. But at the same time, this MOU does not bind our hands, like what you say, in terms of opposing where it counts. For example, the so-called 100 million allocation of land to the former Prime Minister Najib Tun Razak, you know, in a very prime part of Federal Hill. So, you know, it's something that we continue to work on, and you know, the shortcomings there are acknowledged.
And I mean, if we shift back to, you know, getting re-elected again, I think it's very clear that, you know, Pakatan Harapan will have a relatively strong presence in urban areas, but it's very clear from Melaka that the rural Malay vote is not for the taking. For G15, is that something you're going to pursue, or is that too little too late?
No, I don't think it's too late. I think even among the rural population, there are differences in terms of how we can reach out to them and campaign to them. There are a lot of younger people, I think, who are much more, we're able to reach out to them using, you know, more sophisticated means, perhaps, but their political awareness may not be that high. And then for the older, more traditional Malay rural voters, I think there's no replacement, no replacing the machinery on the ground that I think has shown that we are, you know, we are lacking in this area, in Melaka, in the rural area. So I think a combination of actually coming up with a new narrative and also coming up with, you know, the kind of energy to get more young people involved in on the ground campaign, I think that will be possibly part and parcel of the larger game changer that we're looking for leading up to the 15th general election.
So, Kian Ming, give us a clue. I mean, what is this new narrative that Pakatan needs to push in order to gain votes in GE15?
Earlier this morning, I released a press statement saying that PH needs a new narrative with the following elements. Firstly, presenting a lineup of experienced and young leaders to lead the country forward rather than just relying on the top leaders of individual component PH parties. Secondly, presenting a compelling vision for the country post-COVID-19 at the national and state levels that focuses on competency and capability, and to show how we can revive the economy as well as the social fabric of the country moving forward. Thirdly, to present a configuration for new alliances, including with MUDA and other parties, to attract younger voters and also younger volunteers and members to be part of our machinery on the ground as well as in social media.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was YB On Kian Ming, Member of Parliament. I think going back to the bread and butter issues in terms of how can the country recover from COVID-19, improve what I can pick up, improve the social fabric and address, you know, highlight some of the issues that have failed along the way.
And also about a leadership that also reflects credibility, but also new faces at the second generation level.
Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.